You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com.
Well, hello there.
Kelly Turnbull of Manly Guys Doing Manly Things at ManlyGuys.com.
Hello.
And returning for this special 5th anniversary special of the Webcomic Beacon is Tanya Higgins from which college do you go to?
I'm right now at Front Range Community College.
Welcome.
I'm still at daisiesandshit.com.
Well, yeah.
It's just a blog. Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
It's like, I almost feel like I don't deserve to be here for the 5th anniversary show because Tanya was with you guys for like 4.5 years and I've been here for like 4 months.
Well, I think that just in consistency, you probably deserve it more than I do. So.
Well, let's see here. We've got, I don't know what kind of show we got for you today, but we'll figure that out as we roll along. Once again,
it's your show of shows.
Yes. Let's see here. The Webcomic Beacon is hosted, is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network, where you can find other shows such as the Webcomic Beacon Presents First Issue, the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, and Web Fiction World, where we talk about web fiction and also are starting to do web fiction readings. And you can find that all at webcastbeacon.com. And we are also hosted through Hiveworks Comics at thehiveworks.com. Some fantastic comics over there at the Hiveworks, including Namesake, The End, Go Get a Roomie, I Was Kidnapped by Lesbian Pirates from Outer Space, Sister Claire. There's like a whole bunch of awesome comics over there. So go ahead and check out thehiveworks.com. And this particular episode is once again sponsored by a friend of the Webcomic Beacon, Sean Granger, writer of the graphic novel Family Bones, as well as a few other things of interest that he has on his own side at kingtractorpress.com, a couple of webcomics and other graphic novels that he does. Thank you, Sean, for sponsoring this particular episode. Hopefully it's good. And I just constantly sabotage myself, don't I?
Yeah.
Oi, kidnapped by lesbian pirates from outer space. I've got Stockholm Syndrome already. Sounds awesome.
I can tell you men don't typically live too long in that comic.
No, they really don't.
But it's a great Megan last is, stand.
Megan is brilliant. So we praise the Megan whenever we can.
You know, I was trying to think about who has been on the show, the Webcomic Beacon, the most. And I know we've had Megan on a few times, as well as we've had Yamino on several times as well. But then again, trying to go through 250 episodes after I'd already gone through them all, editing everything for the update, which Michael Sisk, who designed our current website, also the creator of the Webcomic and Inkblot theme and plugin, I think. Well, for basically putting webcomics on WordPress. He's working on the news site, and we're hoping to get the news site rolled out in January at the latest. So hopefully that'll be awesome. We'll have a new emphasis on articles as well. I've got a couple of comic reviewers already under the belt, and would be interested in more. I have certain ideas for reviewers as far as what we're looking for is as far as like the way that somebody reviews, as in no reviewing, to be entertaining as far as this comic sucks and I'm going to point out all the reasons why you should hate this person. No, we don't want those type of reviewers. Those people are sad. So... But I'm going to be in talks with some other people, but that's one thing looking forward to, providing some more resources and information for comic creators, especially if they're going to be online. something to look forward to. Let's see here. Tanya.
Yeah.
What the hell have you been up to?
Oh, my God. I've been up to school, and that's about it. I don't... I do two things now. I go to school, and I am a coordinator for the Recovering from Religion chapter in Denver. That's all I do, is, like, talk to people who've been abused by their religious past and study. Oh, wow. I have a dual major. I'm going to have my associate in science and associate of arts the end of next year.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. Yeah. And then I'm going on to CU, where I will be double majoring in biology and geology and going through to the master's program for paleobiology. Yes. So, yeah, super comic exciting.
Doing a bunch of stuff. What the? And then, in all that time, you're trying to work in webcomics, right?
You know, oddly enough, no.
No, no.
I did two comic pages for a geology class. I don't know if that counts. I got stellar scores there. But, yeah, unless it's for school or, you know, basic survival, I don't do anything. I've got between 16 and 19 credits every semester.
So. Crazy woman.
Yeah. So what's the end plan for, like, all the, I mean, that is a lot of education.
It is a lot of education.
Yeah, I mean, you can never have too much education, but
you can have too much
actually.
Debt.
I've talked to people who've educated themselves right out of every job. So,
well, that's the point where you just don't tell them about your education.
Yeah, you lie. No, what PhD? Where did you get? No, I don't have that. I think the end goal, it will probably either be a research facility for evolutionary biology. Paleobiologists do research in living organisms and fossils to fill in that kind of recent gap in evolutionary history. Or museum studies. I should have my curation license in 3 to 4 years.
You could be a teacher. Well. You could be a teacher with all that.
You know what? I would sooner stab myself with a fork every day when I wake up than
so you
should
be a teacher with just about
you wouldn't
anything.
Want to be a you
I was gonna say, yeah.
No, like a university teacher.
Yeah. A professor. Yes.
A professor.
I could, but again, fork. I have a problem with people.
Online course, whatever. Teach an online course.
As a general rule,
figure it out yourself. Damn it!
I think instead, I'll go ahead and kind of be a paleobiologist.
Well, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Sort of the plan, but you know, that would be the backup. Like, if I can't find a position, but since I'll be both a biologist and it'll be all three. Biologist, a geologist, and a paleobiologist. If I can't find a job, we're all in trouble. Like, that's pretty sad. So,
wouldn't the fear be like, oh, you're overqualified?
Not necessarily, because I'll only have a bachelor's in biology and geology. The master's will be in paleobiology. So, I don't think I'll be overqualified. There's only like 4 colleges in the country where you can actually get a paleobiology degree. So there's not a lot of paleobiologists out there yet.
And there's not a whole lot of places where marijuana has been decriminalized in the United States as well.
Yay, Colorado! I'm so proud.
Well, I didn't even see that coming. I clearly don't follow the politics of other states. Like, was it Washington and Colorado?
Yeah, it was Washington and Colorado. It's definitely been a long time coming here. I think it was 2 years ago that the police in Denver basically said, yeah, it's still illegal, but we don't really care. they made a public statement.
So, really?
It was...
was it like rampant, or was it just like, you know what, there's better things we can do with our task force than go after this, or what was it?
Yeah, it was there were better things they could do. They said, well, I guess we could lock up potheads for the rest of our lives, but there's actual criminals out there. How about we just focus on that? And it was, you know, budget cuts and all of that stuff. They would rather focus on things that matter.
People being too mellow and hungry.
Yeah, you know, it's like, oh no, the biggest crime is sitting on the couch and eating pizza. They don't. and they made it clear that they don't care. And I mean, there's a huge drunk driving program in Colorado right now. Because that is a problem, you know? Yeah. People are killing each other. You tend to drive too slow if you're stoned. So it's not
well, you should still be, like, pulled over and get a DUI if you're stoned and driving, but...
Of course, but you're far more likely to kill someone hopped up on tequila than that. Like, it's just the way that works. Domestic violence rates go down pot use. So...
Yeah. It's like, I was watching the Judge Dredd movie, and it just seemed, I was like, I wonder if this is supposed to be, like, a parody of, like, the whole, like, war on pot thing, because, like, the drug that they were taking was the most, like, totally, you know, non-violent, like, well, it just makes, the whole point of the drug was it makes time slow down to, like, 100 times slower than it's, like, actually passing, so, like, the people who take it just get, like, super enthralled with glitter for, like, 3 seconds, and then Judge Dredd comes in and shoots them.
Yeah. That seems likely. Yeah, I haven't known a lot of, like, violent potheads. That's not a thing. Well, and really, if they're violent, you should just give them some more. Right down. So,
oh yeah. Man, you're harshing my buzz.
Yeah, and we've over the last, I'd say, 3 years, there have been so many medical marijuana places open up.
Medical marijuana places?
Well, yeah, a lot of them have their own doctors who like write you a prescription for, I don't know, anything.
My knee hurts.
Yeah, I know people have their they got their licenses for like medical use for like asthma because they're like, oh, it calms me down enough that I don't have asthma attacks.
Absolutely.
It's like, you're still smoking.
The big one is chronic back pain. Because, which unfortunately, in like other states, there are like OxyContin places that do the same thing. They have doctors right there that'll give you a prescription for this horrible fucking drug. Uh-huh. You know, and all you have to, oh, I have back pain, and they'll write you a prescription for this really debilitating, addictive drug. And here it's like, yeah.
You can get medical marijuana in Canada, but they're a lot stricter about it. Like, it's, you know, you pretty much have to have, like, MS or cancer.
Oh, yeah, we don't care. And anymore, we don't care at all. It's sort of like, whatever. And Obama's come out and said that they're not interested in pursuing recreational users. So he kind of gave the wink and nod to the state that passed it. So.
Wink, wink.
Who said don't break out the Mountain Dew and Cheetos yet? Was that?
That was the governor of Colorado.
That was the governor. Yeah, he was against legalization.
So he's criminalizing Halo, or
yes, that's exactly it. He's criminalizing Halo.
Oh man, probably, what am I gonna do without my double XP?
He probably would if he could, but yeah, he was against legalization, and so that was just his cranky like.
Well, it's not legal. Wasn't it just legalized in Washington though, or was it? I mean, it was both decriminalized, but I don't know if it was actually outright legalized with, like, a plan yet.
It was, and they actually stepped forward a lot faster than Colorado because, you know, they weren't against it. The government of Washington was not against it. So I think in Colorado they have 60 days to figure out what the hell they're going to do. But, yeah, in Washington already, like, there were pictures in the newspapers of people like on the Space Needle just getting high. So,
Which one? Like, when didn't one of the states that totally just legalized for recreational use? Didn't they say like some portion of like the taxes taken from like pot sales would go to like education or something? So it's like, haha! Now there's like nothing you can complain about.
Yeah, that was us. That was the sneaky underhand move. We've had problems with education funding too, and everything in Colorado that they've ever put forward to fund education has passed. Mm-hmm. So they said, "Hey,
hey man,
let's just take all the taxes and give it to the schools, man.
Like we could solve all the world's problems, man. It's like,
well, wouldn't the legalization of marijuana in either state? Isn't it? Is it going to be 21 plus like alcohol? Since it is a
It is 21 plus here. I don't know what it is in Washington.
Yeah, just because it is a bodily changing.
It's a controlled substance.
Isn't it 18? Yeah. Isn't the, like...
For cigarettes, for tobacco.
Booze, right?
No.
It is in Canada, or in most, I don't know, like, Ontario is 19.
You can go to war, but you can't open a beer.
Yeah, exactly. It's 21 for alcohol everywhere in the United States, as far as I know, except for on Bourbon Streets in New Orleans, where it's 18.
Really?
You can't buy alcohol in a bar unless you're 21, but you can drink on the street at 18.
All right. So public drunkenness is legal for 18 and plus. Okay, yeah. Sweet.
So they have people, actually, they have waitresses from inside the bars go outside the bars with trays of drinks and sell them to people who are 18 and over.
I was raised in Manitoba where drinking age was 18, and then I went to school in Ontario where it's 19, and it was like, that's not fair.
Damn you!
No.
I also want to bring up, we're talking about other people that have been on. Jules Rivera has been on the show a few times as well.
Yeah.
So I should just, like, wander over to her house or something, and we can, like, double up on it or, like, get her back on.
Well, she did offer to come on the show if certain people didn't show up on time, but... I think in a little bit, we're also going to have... Eric from the Webcomic Beacon newscast on the show, since the newscast has also been a pretty big component of the Webcomic Beacon. We've had Ross Scott, which used to run the show in 2010, and then it was taken over by Thomas Rebor, who runs things at 910cmx.com, 910 Comics. And let's see here. And of course, then there's Jason Strasberg, which used to be with Jason Strasberg, was one of those people that's like, it was so eager to help out with like Web Fiction World. And he was doing some readings for a while, and then he was helping out with the newscast. And now he's like a big component of the newscast along with Eric Kimball. So it's like, essentially he volunteered his way onto the crew. So there we go. That's pretty sweet.
Are we all volunteers?
I was going to say, I don't remember ever gathering any sort of paycheck.
No, I've a couple of times.
Well,
covered,
you mean there isn't one? I've been waiting all this time. Oh, gee.
I have covered a couple of tables, and I think PenguinCon's at least twice for you guys.
Oh, that counts.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm hoping to get better income next year, in 2013, after the new site comes in, because basically all the money I've been making this year is going to pay for the new site, and it might still have some come out of my pocket for it, but because I'm actually paying Mike for the new website, since it's going to be a lot more complicated to try to combine that this site with the Webcomic Z site, and I'm hoping it'll work.
It'll be fine. He knows what he's doing.
It's quite a lot. I mean, the Webcomic Z is like an old site. It's like been kind of the code has kind of been outdated and proprietary. Put together for like the past 5 years, I think it's kind of been really in need of like updating in HTML and CSS and all this other crazy stuff, and I'm hoping that the conversion, I'm just worried.
He'll be fine. I mean, he'll not be happy. I'm sure he's gonna have to recode like huge chunks of it.
Oh yeah,
put somebody's head through a wall, but other than that,
I mean, what I was doing it as I went into Photoshop and I tried to structure a whole site the way I want it to look, but I still have an inkling of how things work behind the scenes in WordPress.
Yeah.
So I tried to keep that in mind while I was designing and try to give them some good feedback as far as, okay, I think this is how things work, so it might work best if you structure it like this. And
I think you worry too much, and he's a professional.
Yes.
It'll all be good.
So shut up.
I would never say that. I'm the nice one.
So let's see here. What do we've got? I don't know what we've got. Hey, let's go ahead and go to break right now. We're going to go and listen to Nicole Nicole Deaker, is it? Of the, hang on. I'm going to write this down because I'm going to do this better. Okay.
Do this more betterer.
Okay. Yeah. 19 minutes. Screw up. And, okay. So I think we're
for the whole 19.
Well, no. So I look. No,
whole show,
no.
Throw it out.
I write. I look at. Okay. So this is file A, and at 19 minutes, I started really stumbling over myself. So I want to redo that. So I'm going to cut that out when I get there. So I think right now we should go take a break. We're going to go. I'm going to go and splice in an interview I had with Nicole from Hello the Future, who wrote. Who took our theme song music and made her own lyrics to it for our third anniversary special. And go ahead and I'm going to splice that in, listen to the interview with Hello the Future, and talk about where I talk about what she's been doing in the past 2 years and what she's going to be doing in the future, as well as there's going to be a prize keyword during that interview where you can win an album from Hello the Future. It is going to be... Infinity Right Now is what you can win. And that is not the only prize that is going to be up for grabs this episode, but listen for that prize keyword coming now. Well, during the interview. At the end of the interview. Okay. Go to the scene.
Was that the better one?
Yes.
KingTractorPress.com has been your one-stop online shop for comic books since 2006. Find Sean Granger's digital comedy, Daddy's Girls, the original nerd dad surrounded by love, family, friends, and all the girls in his life. KingTractorPress.com is loaded with all your faves, including Gene Gardens, an original sci-fi about Earth torn apart by pollution, climate change, and wars of the past centuries, with humans becoming mutants after years of tummy tucks, facelifts, and body modifications. Plus, KingTractorPress.com has a lot of free comics updated frequently. It's a great way to have fun and pass some time.
How should I start this? Hello, the future with Nicole Deaker. Is it that correct?
That's correct. Hey. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for coming back onto the show. This would be kind of technically your third appearance with the Webcomic Beacon since you were on a Webcomic Beacon newscast November of 2012.
I was.
So how did you get on the newscast?
I was actually invited to be on a segment where I think it was they were talking about zombie songs. And because I play so many conventions, I was doing a performance during that newscast. So I said, I can't be on your newscast to talk about some kind of zombie songs. I like zombies. I like songs. They go together. And so they said, well, why don't you come on the newscast to talk about Kickstarter? And I said, well, I know a thing or two about Kickstarter. So that is how I ended up on the November 4th newscast.
Well, there you go. I have no idea what those guys are up to. They run their own show over there.
Totally cool.
So the last time, apparently, that we had you on the Webcomic Beacon proper was during our third anniversary. And you did a little ditty for us, sort of your own interpretation of the Webcomic Beacon podcast sort of theme, music theme. And
that is correct.
Yes.
I love that. I mean, I'm going to sound so conceited to say I love that song I wrote for you, but I really think it turned out well. And I can still hear it's like, pull out the leather, pull out the crystal. I mean, you know. Anyway, I think it's also so funny because in that song, I used the lyric, what have you done that's lasted for 3 years? And that was when I was in my first year of Hello the Future proper as this performing band. And now I am in my third year. So now what have I done that has lasted for 3 years, right? Anyway, mm-hmm.
Well,
you should totally include a link to that song, by the way. I'll send it to you unless you have it already so that everyone can hear how amazing we mutually are.
I'm not sure if I actually have it as a link somewhere, but I'm sure I have it somewhere on my computer.
I do have it as a link. I'll send it over after this. Oh, I keep records, all kinds of records.
Well, what we had you on for the third anniversary was, I'm not even sure why, other than, hey, this person is starting to, like, is making some songs based off Void Comics. Hey, we're having an anniversary. Let's party. And then shortly after that, or sometime after that, you came out with an album called Infinity Right Now, which I remember. I think you were putting together the art for it before the album actually went up. Now, you use Bandcamp, is that right?
I do use Bandcamp. That's correct.
Is this like the thing that independent artists always use, or are there other avenues for, you know, when you want to essentially self-publish your music?
There are a number of ways that independent artists can release and distribute music. Of course, they can do iTunes, they can do Amazon, they can do SoundCloud, they can do Reverb Nation, they can do Spotify, they can do a number of things. Bandcamp is nearly always the most popular choice, and you can do Bandcamp and iTunes simultaneously. It's not like, you know, if you do Bandcamp, you can't also be on iTunes. But Bandcamp is a hugely popular choice because it allows the artist to collect more profit from each track than the other organizations do. Spotify, you get like a fraction of a cent, you know, from Spotify. iTunes, you get, there's a chart, and I can send you the chart as well, but you know, that's less interesting. iTunes gives you maybe 60% of what Bandcamp does.
Yeah, I heard that iTunes they take 40% of sales, which I think it sounds kind of ridiculous. I mean, the percentage has to be better at Bandcamp.
Oh, the percentage is hugely better at Bandcamp, in part because Bandcamp is small. It's not associated with, for example, Apple in the case of Amazon, it's not associated with Amazon. Bandcamp is one of those lean startups. I would have to look it up for sure, but the last time I checked, they were, you know, under 15 employees. So the overhead is small. Most of the people work from home, you know, or work from home offices. So they have the capacity to really not only give as much as they can back to the individual creators, but also, I mean, Bandcamp customer service is amazing. Every time I have worked with them, we've had anytime we've had a situation, we've resolved it within a couple hours. Once they sent me a t-shirt just because they liked me. I mean,
yeah, I see. I think you're wearing that in your Song Fu 2012 album.
Yes, I am. It's a great shirt.
So one thing I've also noticed, it's primarily, you know, you can buy like the digital album and, you know, I've also seen like, some people that use it in this like name your price sort of thing, or you can buy individual songs like that. But I've also seen like on a couple of yours where you can, buy an actual, CD instead of the digital album, or I guess probably could buy them both too, but so how does like the CD work? Because I think I've seen some people link with CD Baby with it.
Yes, I'm not quite sure what you mean there. The deal with Bandcamp and merch fulfillment. Mm-hmm. So Bandcamp does not keep any of my CDs.
Okay.
So if someone orders a CD from me on Bandcamp, they will send me an email saying such and such ordered a CD. And I have put a note on Bandcamp with your CD will be fulfilled within, you know, 7 days. So I have 7 days from receiving that email. To go into my box of CDs, dig one out, dig an envelope out, slap a label on it, and put it in the mail. Really, what the Bandcamp physical merch ordering system is basically, it's a spreadsheet that they send you, you know, or it's something that goes... They don't actually mail my CDs. I don't think they have any of my CDs.
But it's nice that it's all right there.
It's all right there. And I can see who's ordered. I can see how much everyone's ordered. They track my mailing list because part of the deal with Bandcamp is if you order something, you do end up signed up for the mailing list. That's just how it is. I mean, you can unsub. Of course, you can unsub. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the deals that Bandcamp offers. And so they track everything.
So let's see, so what have you done in the past 2 years then, since we've had you on last? How have you grown as an artist?
I have successfully transitioned to a full-time performing musician who is in the black. I've been in the black in three different ways. In last quarter of 2011,
2011, and I'm using all these businessy terms, being so businessy. But in fourth quarter 2011, I started to make more money as Hello the Future than I was putting into the business.
Well, that's always good.
Mm-hmm. So then, because of circumstances, I ended up in a position to go full-time, perhaps probably 6 months earlier than would have made most economic sense. But still, 6 months ago, well, 9 months ago now, 9 months ago now, I found myself full-time as Hello the Future. And I know I'm using found myself as a euphemism. If you've been on my website, you know the situation. If you've not, go to my website and search the archives. How's that for a plug? Anyway, so 9 months ago, I became Hello the Future full-time. And my goal for the first 6 months was to make enough money selling music to pay my rent, which I did every month.
Wow.
My goal for the next 6 months, so since I said nine, that's for the past 3 months, including this month, is to make enough selling music to cover my, what you'd call your nut, which is all your basic expenses. It's not, for example, going to Disneyland and watching a lot of movies, but it is your rent, your health insurance, your food, your phone bill, right? So for me, that's $1,200 a month, and I have hit that every month for the past 3 months, so booyah.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you can get Netflix for $8 a month and watch a lot of movies that way.
This is true, and I don't have Netflix. I'm so ruthless about keeping my overhead low. I do a lot of Hulu, and I do a lot of YouTube. And sometime this content has been removed by a claim from 20th Century Fox, and I'm sad because I want to know if he actually does Die Hard with a Vengeance.
No. But, yeah, I sort of spoiled it for you. But, so...
Don't worry, I already know all the Die Hards. Come on.
Yeah. And there's a new one coming out, apparently.
I know, I'm so excited.
I'm kind of excited. I mean, I was excited for, like, Live Free and or Die Hard, but it was like that buzz, it was like that high from a new Die Hard, but when you really look at it, it's nothing like the first two or three. It's kind of, a Bruce Willis movie. It's not really a Die Hard movie so much. I mean, you can't beat the first two.
No, you can't. They are amazing and wonderful.
They're wonderful Christmas movies.
Yes, they are. That and the Poseidon Adventure, which is also set, technically it's set on New Year's Eve, but it is, you know, these holiday movies, we're all watching, you know, like Rudolph and crap. Let's watch some movies where people die and things blow up.
Sounds good to me. Do you have a song that has an explosion in it yet?
Do I have a song that has an explosion? Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. On my Song Foo album, the one called Martians and Rovers, which is a complete... Well, okay, so the deal with Song Foo is that it's a contest you enter. Are you laughing? You're laughing because you know what I'm going to say. Song Foo is a contest you enter, and every month you receive a mysterious assignment, and you have 2 weeks to write a song about it. And one of the prompts was to write a song about the Mars rover. And so I took my very super ridiculously popular song, Monkeys and Robots, and rewrote it as Martians and Rovers. And so there you go. There is an explosion in that song.
Is it with your mouth?
No, I just described the explosion.
Oh, okay. All right. I totally picture you making explosion noises. With your mouth.
How's that?
Make a song out of that. Yeah. So you're working on another album. It is now.
I am, yes.
It's December 2012 right now. And in maybe about a month, you're going to begin the recording process. But it won't be out until the spring at some time. Can you tell us anything about this album?
I'll tell you a lot about it.
Oh.
Again, follow my website for the full details. I have been talking about this album now for over a year. It is ridiculous. I started talking about it. There's actually a YouTube video where I first announced it, and I think this YouTube video is from, like, September 2011.
Oh, I think you're running the risk of overhyping yourself.
I know. Well, I started talking then about doing an album of personal songs, because so many of my songs are They're comedy, they're referential, they're about things we all love, like Zelda and the TI-99 and monkeys and robots. And I wanted to do, and I think this is such a cliche, this is like the biggest cliche. It's like, I want to do an album about my feelings. But I was writing all these story songs that were based on true stories, and so I thought, all right, I want to put these in an album. So that is what I did. I started talking about this a year ago. And then I did a Kickstarter this summer, and we achieved all of our goals and then some. So I hired a band. I hired The Long Holidays. They're an amazing band. You can link to them in the What's It, or you can just type The Long Holidays into Google. You'll find them. So that, and we're rehearsing now. They are amazing. They're astounding, and they're pushing me so far beyond what I could have done on my own. And we're hoping to record in January, and then it'll take another couple months for mixing and mastering, and then we go. There we go.
Yeah, I think if I can bring this back into webcomics.
Please do.
That seems to be like a thing that a lot of people end up doing. You kind of start with the sort of gag a day, and then you start developing the characters, and then you start doing a little bit more long-form stories and more dramatic, more serious stuff. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I actually think that's absolutely correct. You know, it's so interesting when you're looking at someone like Jeff Jacks, or you're looking at the Penny Arcade crowd, or you're looking at Ardra, or you're looking at Hijinks Ensue, you know, and how quickly the stories become personal, and how quickly the characters become, you know, so much more human than they started out being.
And you treat your songs, your storytelling, not your story, I mean, you kind of already had somewhat storytelling, and you just kind of expanded on that.
I always tell stories, but I stopped telling stories about, you know, like River from Firefly, and started telling stories about, you know, things that happen to me that I think other people can relate to.
Yeah, you have your singing range can vary from, like, you know, the quickly paced sort of rambling, so to speak, and then you also got some where you let your voice flutter a little bit more, or you have a little bit, I don't want to say ballad, but you know what I'm kind of saying.
Oh yeah. Oh totally.
So you got a nice range right there. And what I actually want to do with this particular episode is that I do want to give away a copy of Infinity right now, because you actually have that. So people can email prize keyword, and Nicole, what should that keyword be for people to enter to win a copy of your album?
Well, I want to make it 3 keywords so they'll remember my name. So just put in Hello the Future. That way they will remember my name. It'll get stuck in their heads. Can we do that? Is that cool?
All right. Keyword Hello the Future. Send that to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com for your chance to win a copy of Hello the Future's Infinity Right Now album. And what we're going to do, I'm going to thank Nicole for being with me here for the 5th anniversary special of the Webcomic Beacon.
I want to say to everyone, what have you all done that's lasted for 5 years? This is amazing. You guys are fantastic.
Woo! And when we go to break, I don't know yet which one. I'm going to pick a song from her archive, and that'll be the break song for this episode. And you can find out more at, you know what, is it hello-the-future.com?
It's hello-the-future.net. But you can just type Hello the Future into Google. That'll get you everything.
So hello-the-future.net.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can go to hello-the-future.bandcamp.com to go directly to spend money on the albums.
Yes.
Hello the Future!
I'm saying -hyphen. But anyway,
-_.
No, we know what we mean. They're technically called hyphens. I got to throw that out there as a former copy editor, right? Just throw that out there.
That's anyway. Sort of short, middle aligned line between a letter and the word. Okay.
It's on the computer between the zero and the equal sign.
Not to be confused with _.
Correct. All right. I think we're done with that.
All right. There we go. Hello, the Future. Thank you for coming on to this show.
Thank you. Thank you.
And good luck with recording your next album, and let us know once that's out, and otherwise people can check out her website as well. And we're going to go to break. We're going to listen to some song I have not yet picked, and we'll be right back.
T-Rex has feelings, though you may think he's a dinosaur. T-Rex has feelings, and he wants the world to listen to him as he says, "Listen to me." T-Rex was just standing there. Let's get in closer to see what he has to say. He's going to crush that house, but Dromisi Minus gets in his way. Then Utahraptor stops by. Utahraptor says, "Hi, did that person die?" And now T-Rex is all alone, T-Rex is all alone, T-Rex is all alone. What is T-Rex gonna do? Cause T-Rex has feelings, though he acts just like an animal. T-Rex has feelings, and he wants the world to listen to him as he says, "Listen to me." T-Rex doesn't like to be all alone. He likes to think of more awesome things instead. Like, what if he were made up of jillions of robots, and each of the robots had a robot head? Would the thoughts of the robots be T-Rex's thoughts, or the thoughts of the robots? These kind of thoughts help T-Rex forget about his feelings, unless, of course, the robots were thinking of the thoughts. Otherwise, he just want to stomp around and crush things and tell Dromisi and Minus that she is pretty hot, and that they should go check out second base and then get a corn dog. He hopes she likes corn dogs. Why wouldn't anyone not like corn dogs? Yes, T-Rex has feelings, though sometimes they're confusing. T-Rex has feelings, and he wants Dromisi and Minus to know that he thinks she's kinda hot. T-Rex is just standing there. Turns out that corn dog thing didn't work out so great. He asked Dromisi and Minus, and she said she didn't think that they should date. So he asked Utahraptor what to say, and how he could go on feeling this way, when he had to see Dromisi and Minus every day. And Utahraptor said, "Maybe if you hide away your feelings, you'll be able to get by. Maybe if you hide away your feelings, you'll be able to get by." And then T-Rex said, "Maybe if I hide away my feelings, I'll be able to get by." That's why T-Rex has feelings, but just like us, he has to hide them. T-Rex has feelings, and he wants this girl to listen to him as he says, "Listen to me." T-Rex has feelings, though he acts just like a dinosaur. Really, he's got feelings, and he wants the world to listen to him as he says, "Listen to me."
That was T-Rex Has Feelings off of the Infinity Right Now album by Hello the Future at hello-the-future.net.
Oh, awesome. It's totally my job to give you art.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes! So. I have so much pent-up school frustration.
Pent-up frustration.
I know. I need to take a trip.
Show. Take a little trip with me. No, not with me.
Oh, please don't let that happen anymore.
What? You don't want me to come back to Colorado?
No, that song.
Take a little trip. Take a little trip.
Horrible.
Well, you do put the lime in the coconut.
That's also a horrible song.
I said, "Doctor, what you gonna do?" I said, "Doctor."
What's happening?
Eric, hello.
Hello, Tanya. I missed you being annoyed by Fess.
I was like, I'm pretty sure we just added someone new to the chat, but everybody's talking about music. And...
Hi, how are you?
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
I've been exposed enough to be annoyed, but I'll try.
This is Eric Kimball from the Webcomic Beacon newscast. And is it bladebunny.com?
It is bladebunny.com.
And back when, were you on the newscast from the beginning when we started in 2010, or did you come on later?
I was the person who was collecting the news. 2010, you said, "I want to do a newscast." And I looked at it and I said, and I saw people signing up. And I also realized none of these people are going to collect the news every week. So
I'm informed.
And I said, you know what? I will volunteer for the drudge job. So I came on as the researcher and occasionally was on the newscast when other people didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And since then, I have been upgraded to actually being able to speak on a regular basis. It's almost like I'm an adult, you know? I get to sit at the big kids table now. That's
big kids table gets dessert first.
Yeah, they do.
We were talking about how Jason kind of started as like this sort of like volunteer person. You know, he was on like the web fiction world for a while, and then now he's like one of the huge like pillars of the Webcomic Beacon newscast, along with yourself.
Oh yeah, no, I begged Jason to be on. I was collecting the news, and Jason started sending me tweets, and he's like, "Oh, here's something you should see," and he started sending me better stuff that I could find. I'm like, "You have to be on the newscast, please come."
But
I can make someone else the person who looks up on the news, and I get to talk and be uninformed. That's awesome.
And let's see here. The newscast is been around since 2010. I think it's been a great addition, and it's actually the numbers. Well, right now the feeds, because the newscast had some trouble with feeds with a few different site iterations because it wasn't working at the beginning, apparently. Yeah. But the Webcomic Beacon newscast feeds are up there with the Webcomic Beacon numbers. It's on the same feed too, but the numbers still seem to fluctuate for some reason. So I guess a lot of people don't listen to the feeds as much as just coming to the website, it seems. So So I think the newscast has less feed listeners. I don't really know. I don't know. It's weird. The numbers seem.
I guess maybe more people are sharing it when we actually talk about them, because we we go out there and talk about people each week.
Yeah,
and sometimes criticize people each week, and that's very popular on the internet. When strangely enough, when you start bashing someone, they like that. Well, not the person you're bashing, but everyone else.
Yeah. You actually did start a couple of different – there's two different videos that you started putting together that are sort of like – well, if anyone's seen like the extra credits video game sort of discussion video series.
My actual inspiration is Movie Bob's Big Picture on The Escapist. I have completely stole his format. and he talks about comics. I talk about web comics. So I figure that's fair.
It works.
Yeah, it's
you got Bob goes in, like I stopped watching it. It's like anytime he talks about like feminism and like women's rights and stuff, it's just like, oh, stop it. Like he, oh man. I remember he was talking about how like Splice was supposed to be like the feminist version of the Frankenstein story. It's like, all right, so first you know what the feminist version of a Frankenstein story is?
Frankenstein.
And second, the entire movie Splice was like, this is why women can't science. They get the ovary madness. And I was like, I am never more offended by a movie in life.
I'm just going to go ahead and check that off my list. Topic,
but have you heard his defense of Sucker Punch?
Oh, God. He has a well, I'm not going to watch that.
I enjoyed, like, Sucker Punch to me was kind of like a burlesque version of, like, an action movie.
Yeah. His whole premise was that Sucker Punch. Well, okay, we'll talk about it another time because we're here about the Webcomic Beacon.
Well, I was still going to talk about the newscast. I mean, you were the name. I think I don't know who came up with it. If I forced your hand to make it News Roundup, or if you called it News Roundup, I don't remember.
I called it something different, and then you said you slightly altered it into News Roundup, which is a good enough title.
I didn't mean to. It was an accident.
No, I think it probably was better than what I came up with. I can't remember what I came up with. You said you have to give it a title. I'm like, I don't know. And I sent you something, and then you sent me I made a title page and sent it to you, and you said, this is horribly low resolution.
It was terrible. I'm sorry.
And I got to say, that was the resolution of the images you sent me. You just didn't think I was going to pick the images I picked. And so you wanted me to put you sent me really high images of Becky and really low images of the radio tower, and I wanted the radio tower.
I didn't know I didn't know you wanted the ones with the radio tower. Those are all website sized ones.
Yep, and so I grabbed those and did my best, and you saw that, and you said, that's awful, and I was like, well, all right, but I was working with low resolution. And yeah. I said, and I told you, well, why don't you make it? And you said, okay. And you sent me that. And the title was changed slightly, but I said, good enough. I mean, when other people are doing the – see, my philosophy is when other people are doing the work for you, that's always a good thing.
Well, I didn't want –
Good job. Moochers.
So, I will link to both of these that you've done in the show notes. I didn't make them MP3s, but I think it might be best if I try that because I think they download into people's RSS feeds and might get better numbers that way. Because I don't think anybody ever, if they listen to the RSS feed, I don't think they actually look at the RSS feed. I think they just play. So,
that's really what I do. I don't look at anything on the RSS feed. If it's sound. Why would I look at it? It's just going to tell me what I'm going to listen to.
Not necessarily. It could be a link to something, but whatever. But yeah, I'll link both of the ones that he's done in this particular episode. And
they were very fun to make. And I want to just put out here, if anyone wants to send me a 5-minute audio ranting about something, I would love to make that into one of these videos.
You should really narrow that down. Yeah. Ranting about something, because I have got some subjects.
Something related to online publishing webcomics.
And you can
put that.
And then Eric and then Eric may potentially pick yours to do a video about.
Yeah,
not forced to listen to your crazy rant about, alien seeding and...
If you send me a rant about store bought marmalade for 3 minutes, that's not going to make it.
What if it's a really good rant? Like it could be some quality.
Store bought marmalade. It's like all sugared and bad.
Well, is it a specific brand of store bought marmalade, or is it just the general? Like, because. If it's just all store-bought marmalade, that's a little elitist, but...
I would say it's American store-bought marmalade. Like, we don't get the good stuff. Where people actually eat marmalade. Like, England, Canada.
You just eat it.
We don't eat marmalade here, which is very apparent from, like, Smucker's marmalade. Like, it's crap.
I've never been a fan of marmalade. Like, it always just tastes kind of like bitter to me. It's like, it's like jam made of orange rinds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always hated like marmalade because it's like, what the fuck is all this shit in my jelly? It's like, get this shit out of here. Because it's like, that. That's
the fruit.
Just give me orange jelly without the fucking crap in it,
I had to use it to make something with, and I forget what it was, but it was okay. Maybe it was like some orange chicken or something.
Oh, yeah, it's good with orange chicken.
But I wouldn't want a lot of it.
See how much content you can get out of, planning with marmalade?
See, this conversation, this is what I'm talking about, not being selected.
Now, if someone were to do a webcomic about marmalade.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
There probably is.
In which case, we can just really rant about how someone really feels the need to spend their time writing an entire webcomic.
Fucking marmalade, goddamn Brits! Fucking trumpet webcom, shit! So, goddamn muffins and stuff, marmalade!
Hey, bad crumpets.
Muffin. I don't mind a bit of crumpet. I wouldn't want to put marmalade.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever had a crumpet. I think when I think of them, I just think of an English muffin.
Yeah,
aren't
like
they
that.
English muffins?
No,
an English muffin and a crumpet are two totally different things.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. How?
Crumpet, then, eh?
How? What is a crumpet?
A crumpet is kind of a in between, I would say, an English muffin and a scone. It's round.
Man, my dad makes awesome scones. They're scones, whatever. We call them scones. But, whenever I get them at bakeries or coffee shops and stuff, I'm just disappointed in them because it's like, they're not like dad makes.
Yeah. I know. I have the same problem. Like, the only place you can get scones here is at Starbucks. And while I'm not generally opposed to Starbucks on any sort of political level, those aren't scones. They're like weird.
All the food at Starbucks is pretty questionable.
Dry and weird. And...
Like the drinks are good, but the food is just it's always kind of dry and crumbly.
Yeah. It makes me sad.
Oh, yay.
So, in summary, no conversation about Marmalade on the newscast, but on the core programming, that's A-okay.
Yeah, well, like what the videos have been, they've been basically news commentary things and right. And analysis, essentially.
Right. We're trying. This is something Jason and I are talking about. We're trying to move the newscast to something that is a little bit more informed. What we've been doing up until this point has just sort of been a laundry list. We would go through all the news in the week and say, okay, here's all the things that happened that you should look up. And we give them references to look up in more detail. Just keeping people alert. And while there's a purpose for that, we really want to move the newscast to something that's a little bit more informative, mm-hmm. so that when you listen to it, you don't have to look up another source. You just listen to the newscast and you know what's going on.
Still provide the sources.
Yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah. Tell people
isn't academic rigor or anything, but jeez.
Yes, we have to. No, Fess has set the rule. We must source all materials because he wants to be above board.
Right.
He doesn't want to be the star.
Nobody does.
The rule was formed that you found the source here. Source where you found it, and then check that source and see if it's referencing something else. Because there's a lot of times where you look at like a blog article somewhere, and it's more or less just a copy paste from the source that they got it from, which also might be another copy paste from the source that they got it from. Essentially, it's just piggyback plagiarism, and I really wanted to make sure that we weren't doing that.
Man, I remember pleading
that not that we don't do that, but we tell people that we're doing that.
Well, yeah, that's why we add extra commentary to it as well, and we're not actually copying like the whole, text article that they have, which basically says the exact same thing that they linked to.
Bleeding Cool found something that I drew making like the rounds on 4chan or something, and like, wrote an article and used it in it. And then Jezebel like took that article off Bleeding Cool and used my graphic too. And when I talked to the Bleeding Cool guys about it, they were like, oh, we're sorry. And they credited me right away. When I talked to Jezebel about it, nobody ever responded to me and nothing was done. And like people were in the comment section saying like, hey, you took this from Kelly Turnbull, and they were like, total indifference. It's like, thanks, Jezebel.
Wow, that's never happened with Jezebel before.
Who's Jezebel again?
I don't think that's ever happened on the internet before.
Never. Yeah, Jezebel's
No, really, who is she?
It's a website about, supposed to be like women's interest stories, but
no.
They steal a lot of shit.
Mostly, it's about stealing things from women.
Yeah,
that's the way it works. And the original Jezebel is the chick from the Bible who put on makeup and was drugged through the town by horses.
Wonderful.
Oh, is that what happened to her?
Did anybody here read the Mary Sue?
Occasionally when I get like linked to it.
When given the impetus. No, I don't.
The impetus?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Am I slipping into Colegia vernacular? Yeah. Should I scale this down? Or?
Well, I'm pretty sure I don't have a virility problem, but.
No, that's different.
That's the wrong word.
How about you just never force me to think about your penis? I mean, no offense or anything.
If I had $1 for every time I heard that.
Don't make me think about it. Don't make me think. I'm thinking about it. I'm done. Too late.
Don't put salt in your eye.
It burns. Oh, sorry. What? Oh, never mind. Hey, wow, this is exciting. 5th anniversary and everything. I'm sitting here in a tuxedo, but without the pants on. And it's great. Celebratory action here.
That is an image I signed up for. I feel better. I'm in a towel.
Woo! Why don't we have
in bed?
And we haven't, and we're not doing the show live anymore, so we don't have a video feed for this.
So. Welcome to One Comic Beacon. What you wearing?
worth the comment.
It's actually an upgrade for most of the beacons that I recorded. So.
All right. So I think we're going to take another break because I need to splice in another interview that I took a little bit like last week. I got Matt Scherer, who does the webcomic Badly Drawn Kitties. The biggest reason why I got Matt Scherer once again, well, the second reason why is he's doing an Ask blog on Tumblr with his comic characters, and we haven't really fully gotten into that particular sort of comic telling or comic presentation, and so we go over that a little bit. But the biggest reason why I recontacted him again, because he was the very first person I interviewed on the Web Comic Beacon podcast, episode 3. And for that one, he was also spliced in. So, he works Sundays, so we're gonna go and
You know what? Nobody here is old enough to remember All in the Family, but you and I. So just stop.
Well, they used to play it on Nick at Night all the time, so
oh,
I can.
Oh God, now I am old.
Over again.
It's okay. They also show Fresh Prince on Nick at Night. So,
oh, do they? Okay, I don't feel so old.
I'm sorry. I think that's just too new for Nick at Night.
Yeah, that's. I was like, there. I feel like Nick at Night is growing up faster than television did.
They should stop in the 70s. maybe early 80s, but I don't think they should go further than that. It's Nick at Night.
I remember when they used to show like Mr. Ed.
We've completely destroyed Fess's intro.
So now we're going to take a break and go to the interview. I'm sorry, there's no prize keyword for this particular interview, but there will be a prize keyword announced after this interview. So stay tuned, and hopefully you grabbed the prize keyword from Hello the Future, so you can win that CD. And so now we're going to take it. I'm going to transfer the show to Fess, talking with Matt Scherer. Take it away, Fess.
You're going to hand it off to yourself, and you promise not to make us think about your penis anymore.
That's right. All right. Moving on. Cut.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
I'm going to basically go over most of what I would recall of Badly Drawn Kitties over the past 5 years. Everything from the cat, from the end of the comic, which I don't think happened. When was the wedding? Do you remember what year the wedding was?
Give me 1 second, and I can tell you the exact date of the last comic. The first time that I actually put a comic that said the end was October 31st, Halloween, 2005.
So, wait a minute. So that had to be over before I had you on.
I restarted it briefly. Let's see. I have it. The archive page for Badly Drawn Kitties has this information. Badly Drawn Kitties started in February 2002, continued somewhat regularly until October 2005. New version was started in May 2006, but lasted only 7 strips before inspiration died off. Reborn again in July 2007. So that would have been 5 years ago. And that lasted until September 2008.
Okay, so that's okay. So I had you on almost precisely 5 years ago, December, according to my website. Since even though we jumped a few different websites. I try to keep the dates of all the episodes the same.
That's professional.
December 21st, 2007 is when we had Yuan. We should probably start this interview out properly. Welcome to the fifth anniversary of the Webcomic Beacon. I am with Matt Scherer of Badly Drawn Kitties. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's so nice to be here. I don't get to do enough podcasts. I love listening to them, and I don't get to participate enough.
And I know the last time that you participated on this show was, December 21st, 2007. First person I had interviewed on the Webcomic Beacon, which is why I asked you here today.
I was the first?
You were the first. Episode 3, you were the first person that was interviewed.
I didn't know that. Wow, cool.
At least according to my records, I didn't see anything for episode 1 and 2.
All right. I'll buy it.
And I think same as back then, I had to record you separately and add you into the show later.
Ah, well.
So
what are you gonna do? I'm just irritating that way, I suppose.
So no, it's kind of like poetry. We're complimenting the past.
Okay.
So as some people have heard just a little bit ago, you actually had ended the comic Badly Drawn Kitties 2 years before we actually had you on, but you had rebooted for a while since then. But I also know that since then, you had done a redraw with Kat Smith, who did, from people from back then would know her from the comic Floppity.
And, oh, yeah.
And since then, she ended up working for a company called something with bombs.
Well, the actual company was Whiskey Media, but the site that she worked on mainly was GiantBomb.com.
Right, right.
A video game website. I'm not sure if she still works there because Giant Bomb was absorbed by GameSpot. It still exists. It's just...
I think that's when she left.
That sounds about right. I mean, I unfortunately don't keep in contact with her anymore, but okay. Based on what I've seen, because I still look at Giant Bomb, and based on what I've seen there, it doesn't look like she's participating in it. No. So that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, there was something that she posted about where she wasn't particularly happy with the direction that the company was going in, I think. We should probably talk about comics.
Okay, yes, let's.
Because
how about Dust and Elysian Tale? It's not a comic. I just got to throw it in there because it's such a good game. It's all hand drawn art.
Oh,
like that's the thing. Like it's all hand drawn cell animated art, and it's furry. I don't know how many people. I don't know what the furry.
We have a tolerating crowd for furries.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. Well, it's sort of a furry thing. It's a side scrolling hack and slash RPG adventure game, kind of a Metroidvania, if you will, with RPG elements. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I mean, it's $15 and it looks gorgeous and you should try it. That seeps into comics because it's drawn, right?
Sure. We'll go with that.
All right.
Let's see here. We have Matt Scherer on the show with us. He does a comic called Badly Drawn Kitties. You did a redraw of, how much of a redraw did you do with Kat?
Basically took... The idea was to publish it as a book. So what we basically did was redrew the first, half a year or so of Badly Drawn Kitties.
How did that go over?
From scratch. Sorry?
And how did that go over? Did you end up putting it together in a book, or what happened to that?
We did it. The publisher that we were going to use, I believe ran into some financial problems at that point. It never actually came to fruition. But you know, it gave some content to the website and it gave me a chance to retro fix some of the canon that I wasn't happy about.
Okay. So and that's something I saw on your new project, which is like on Tumblr with a lot of people, there are Ask Blogs, and you have started an Ask BDK blog.
Yes, that was I had a Tumblr just to use as my blog. Didn't really know much about Tumblr and kind of fooled around with it a little bit, but mm-hmm. I've kind of gotten to the point where I don't blog very much. And then I saw a lot of people doing mostly Ask My Little Pony characters. And I thought, well, what if I just put a little ask box here and say, and I just tweeted like, hey, if anybody wants to ask Badly Drawn Kitties characters something, you can. And then I did just a little doodle on a tablet of the character's face and a bunch of text answering the question. The thought did briefly go through my head. Oh, maybe I could make a comic out of this, but I don't know. That seems like work. And then I was chatting to the aforementioned Mike Vega, and I should explain who he is because he doesn't often go by that name online. He's more well known as Miyu. He does the webcomic. Well, right now he mainly does another Ask blog called Ask Jam Stuff, but he's got characters that he's most well known for, I think, are Peaches and Cream. Anyway, he's basically a furry artist, and he's a friend of mine. And we were chatting, and he has a real positive attitude about everything. And he was saying, you know, Badly Drawn Kitties would make a really cool Ask blog. And I sort of thought about it, and I was like, well, I can try it, I guess. And so I started. What happened was I had a few questions still sitting in my queue, and I thought, well, let's see. Somebody's asking about something about other Lucys. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I turned that one question into a week long series of comics about people mistaking Lucy for other characters named Lucy or something like that.
Okay.
And it just sort of started from there. And then it got to the point where I was getting enough questions that I could do, instead of turning each question into a week long series, I did one every day. And it just kept growing. And now it's at the point where I'm trying to do about 5 a day just to keep up with the number of questions that I'm getting.
Crazy. Are they all anonymous, or do you get some people that actually?
They are mostly anonymous, which I believe is just because it's people who aren't necessarily on Tumblr. Like anybody, that's the thing. You don't need a Tumblr account to ask BDK things. You just click on the ask button and then it'll just send an anonymous question. I think the majority of the questions I get are anonymous, but there are Tumblr users. Like there's somebody named Discord's Pet who's been asking a number of questions. Got me to draw Lucy and Lydia as Applejack and Big Macintosh today. Yeah, it's mostly anonymous, maybe because they're not Tumblr users, but there are Tumblr users who give their name as well.
It could be like the same person asking the questions all the time. You got one sure. Really rabid fan out there.
You can, I can kind of tell sometimes. Like, I don't know who it is because they're anonymous, but I'm pretty sure I've spotted a bunch of questions all by the same person.
Well, very cool. And it's something that's gotten you to you know, do some content.
Mm. Yes, I just got a notification from Skype. Hopefully that wasn't you. I'll ignore it.
Okay.
Yeah, there it goes again. Whatever. Where was I? Oh, yes, inspiring. Yes. There were a couple of factors, I think, that contributed to the decline of Badly Drawn Kitties in recent years. One, I think, I'm no medical man, but I think that I may have had an issue with depression for a while. Again, you know, kind of self-diagnosed, but I remember just sort of sitting there thinking sometimes, is this what depression feels like? And then what happened was earlier this year, I'm still working in the same place that I worked, but my position there changed and I started doing completely different work under completely different hours. And over time, my outlook on everything is kind of changed and brightened. And if I was depressed, I think I've gotten out of that. I'm a lot more positive now. So I think that's contributed to the production. But also, I think I've been doing Badly Drawn Kitties for so long, off and on, that I was out of inspiration. Mm. Like, I know a lot of people can draw comics for a long, long time. And I know you see in the newspaper comics the toll that it takes when they have to draw an entire month of comics. No excuses. And so you see comics that are really half-assed and dumb and not funny. Now, webcomics can have the luxury of going at their own pace to some extent. My pace was non-existent. Because I had just, I think I had said all that I had to say as far as badly drawn kitties goes. So what happened was that the ask I concept has given new strings of inspiration. Like, for example, there's a comic, there's a question somebody asked that I'm going to draw this comic tonight after I finish with this, where someone has asked, Lucy and Lydia, tell us about your coworkers. Now, Lydia works with Sally. That's been established. But I've never thought about the people that Lucy works with in her current job at Metropolitan Magazine. So all of a sudden, that's something brand new that I never would have thought of. Like, holy smoke, who does she work with? It gives me an entirely new thing to work with. And I had another comic like that last week. I can't remember it offhand, but that's the thing. It takes away the, I guess this is going to sound lazy, but it takes away the onus on me to have inspiration. I mean, I still have to write the comic, but instead of sitting there thinking, okay, blank piece of paper, what do I put on it? Instead, it's kind of an improv thing where I have somebody say, hey, Lucy, how did you lose your virginity? And I was like, okay, how did she lose her virginity? Nobody has asked that, by the way. So, you know, we'll see what happens after this goes up. So, yeah, I think the combination of climbing out of the depression that I was in, if that was what I was in, and having a new avenue of inspiration has caused me to become a lot more prolific, obviously more prolific. If I've gone from drawing comics once a week to drawing no comics to drawing five a day.
I'm sure an ass Tumblr can't work for everybody. I mean, it helps to be somebody or if you had a previous project that had a lot of a following to. I have no idea what your previous numbers were, of course, but I would assume that you had a fairly decent following, so you were able to be more successful on using Tumblr's ask system.
Well, I had a pretty good following for the first part of Badly Drawn Kitties, up until it ended, probably around 2005. And then it just became so sporadic that it couldn't really sustain the fan base that it used to have. So it's building up again. I'm estimating I have roughly 300-ish readers. But that, again, that's an estimate. I don't really have any hard numbers. That's the thing about Tumblr, because people who follow you on Tumblr can just read your comics on their dashboard, and so it doesn't necessarily count as a hit on the website. So it's hard to tell. Like, I can look at my website and say, okay, I got 208 hits. Well, one, I posted four times today, so that could be 50 per. And two, that doesn't count who's actually on Tumblr. So I don't really have any hard numbers, but it's growing. Like, I've definitely started gaining readers since the Ask BDK started. And even today, I still get people going, oh, Badly Drawn Kitties, I remember that. Is that still around? It was kind of eye-opening when I went to Midwest Fur Fest, and I was sitting next to Chris Paulson, who does the comic Precocious.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember distinctly somebody coming up and saying, hey, man, I love your comic. Like, oh, that's great, thank you. He's like, yeah, how did you get the idea for it? A bunch of evil genius kids. And I was like, oh, that's his comic. I had to direct him to the guy next to me because he didn't know who I was, it turned out.
Little brats. All right. And I want to ask you about Midwest Fur Fest. I've only been to that once. If I had known that you were going to be there, I probably would have made an effort to try to go this year. My girlfriend has gone in the past, but this year she didn't end up going. And then I was like, Matt Scherer is there. I was like, you know what? Why are you there now and not back when I was there? Because it's like, I mean, you were one of, I think I mentioned this on the first interview I had you on. Badly Drawn Kitties was one of my first comics on the web. One of my first web comics.
I'm sorry. When was that?
Okay. There's Penny Arcade, which, you know, being as a gamer first, of course, I'm going to find that. was like, webcomics? What's that? I was like, oh, hey, look at this Penny Arcade. Hey, this is pretty cool.
Everybody starts with Penny Arcade, and hopefully they eventually grow out of it.
It seems like it. And then it's like, well, you know, there's other gaming webcomics out there like VG Cats. It's like, all right, I'll check out that. Hey, I like cats and like cartoon cats and all that sort of thing. And then I looked through like their link section. It's like, badly drawn kitties. That name sounds interesting. Let me see what this is. But these are okay drawn kitties, but okay.
Oh, boy. VG, you know, I think to this day, VG Cats is probably the number two source of hits for the badlydrawnkitties.com website. I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't maintain his links page. I mean, I'm not complaining.
Well,
but yeah, the reason that I was at Midwest Fur Fest this year is because this was the year that I finally got my passport.
Oh.
Because back in, I was at Anthrocon 2006. But then right after that, the United States changed their laws so that Canadian citizens needed a passport to get into the country, whereas previously we just needed the photo ID.
Right. And
I just dragged my heels at actually getting my passport. And also I had just started a new job at that point. And so now I finally like, you know what, getting the passport, my friends are going to be there. Let's do it. And of course now I'm all gung ho about going to more conventions.
See if you got anything left to try to haul over and sell, I suppose, or sell sketches.
Yeah. I stayed with the folks from Club Stripes at that convention. Like I shared a table with Chris Paulson, but I shared a hotel room with Club Stripes. And, after the convention, one of the girls who runs Club Stripes that I stayed with, messaged me up and said, hey, we just came up with a great idea for you for future conventions. And it was a great idea. And now I'm really looking forward to going to another convention so that I can implement it and hopefully make a little bit of money.
You're not going to tell me what that is?
I may as well. Yeah, sure. Free promotion. The idea is that I get some little index cards and for, say, a buck, I'll just doodle something on it for people. But if they pay me $5, I'll let them write a question on the card and then I'll draw a comic to answer it.
Like a comic, like then?
Like right there in front of them while I'm talking to them. I don't know what my next convention is going to be. I'm thinking, well, I guess technically the next convention is going to be one that I just found out about called Vancouver, which I'd be foolish to go to since I live in Vancouver. So I'll probably attend at least the Friday and Saturday of that. But after that, I'm not sure when my next convention will be. I'm thinking maybe SakuraCon, maybe AnthroCon. I don't know yet, but you can get a question or you can just click on the website.
Well, many dollars to you, sir.
Yay.
So I got to ask, as far as I saw a comic on the Ask blog that mentioned continuity. So can you explain, try to explain what the continuities of whatever's going on with Badly Drawn Kitties?
Okay. Current Badly Drawn Kitties canon. Lucy and Lydia live in a city called Comutlin, in the fictional nation of Nutalia. Lydia works in a body art place. She does piercing, and she works with Sally, who does tattooing. She has a boyfriend named Dirk, who currently runs a store that sells rare imported records and stuff, but is expecting that business to go belly up any minute and is looking for something else to do. Lucy worked as a music critic for a magazine called Sonica, which was purchased by another company, and its resources were turned towards pornography. She was not interested in that, quit, and got a job at a quote-unquote women's health magazine called Metropolitan, or Metro for short, which is basically 25% fashion, 25% actual women's health, 50% sex advice. So that's where she works. She has a on-again, off again girlfriend named Rain. They both realize that a sustained relationship between them. Oh, Lucy's bisexual, by the way. She has a her lady friend Rain. They both realize that a sustained relationship between them would not work, but they still kind of fool around on the side. And then somewhere in there, there's the band Tailraiser. Lucy has a brother whose name is Lucas, not anything else. Whatever you may have heard about Lucy's brother and what they've gotten up to in the past is not true.
I think we had talked about that a little bit on the first interview.
You probably did, because that's all anybody was talking about at that time.
Well, I mean, you know what you did.
I know. I'm not saying that the discussion of it wasn't warranted at the time. Although I got to admit, it's eased off now. Now that I'm actually getting a constant flow of questions, the number of questions about that particular topic have pretty much died off. I think I've kind of answered that, and people have accepted it and moved on.
Is there anything from the old website that is still directly canon with the AskBlog canon? That was the million-dollar question, was it not?
Yeah. I guess if you looked at the current, the most recent version of Badly Drawn Kitties, if you went to badlydrawnkitties.com right now, there won't be a comic there. It's saying new comics are available on Tumblr at askbdk.tumblr.com, but there's also a back button and a first button. And if you went to the first button, that will take you to the first comic in a series that I started in, I think it was September of 2011. So that's all canon, and perhaps even a bit before that. It's really mixed up. canon, that's why I was laughing and saying no when you said, can I explain? Because somebody actually asked and said that they kind of considered all the different versions of Badly Drawn Kitties as alternate realities.
Mm-hmm.
Which
kind of Dave Willis and the Walkieverse or whatever the hell he has going on. They're all seemingly different universes for essentially the same characters.
Yeah. I mean, you could also look at Red Dwarf. I just recently finished watching all of Red Dwarf and I'm really not sure what's going on anymore. But yeah, I think the canon that I just explained is the canon. How that is actually demonstrated in older comics. Here's the thing. Just the other day, I had some questions that people are asking. Mm-hmm. And it's like, God damn it, let me open the freaking website and see what exactly the questions were that people are asking so that I can remember what my problem was. Here. Somebody had asked, which form of torture would you rather be subjected to? Being tied down and having your hair plucked out one at a time with someone removing your fingernails for 5 hours, or being forced to listen to One Direction and Justin Bieber songs for 35 minutes? And I thought, I get what you're saying, but the fact is those are not comparable, and Lucy is a rational enough person that she's not going to give you the comedic answer. And I'm sitting there kind of jaded on it. And the same thing, what would you do if they banned piercings in wherever you're supposed to be in this canon? And again, that's not something that's going to happen. I don't know how I can answer that. And then somebody asked, watch any Toons lately? It's like, that's such a broad thing. How do I answer that? And I was sitting there going what am I going to do? Am I going to have to start not answering every question? Because that's what I try to do. I know a lot of Ask Blogs pick and choose which questions they ask or they answer. I try to do them all. And so I was just sitting there in bed, because I draw comics in bed at home. And I was sitting there looking at these and thinking, I don't know how to do this. Oh, you people. And I thought, you know what? I need to get up and be active and think about this and approach this happy and enthusiastic. And so I got up and I went for a walk and I said, I'm going to go down to Tim Hortons because I live in Canada and I'm going to get a cup of coffee. And I'm going to think about this and I'm going to be happy and enthusiastic. And I was just repeating that to myself, happy, enthusiastic. And I tell you, by the time I reached the end of the block, I had the first comic written. By the time I got to Tim Hortons, got my coffee and came back, a span of about half an hour, I had five comics that answered six questions done. Just because instead of sitting there and thinking, passively looking at these questions going, what am I going to do about this? I got up and went, positivity, be happy about this, just want to do it. Make something funny out of it. And I did it. That's the key.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, I probably, you know, if I had like an Ask Blog and I got questions like that, I guess my approach would be more like, well, you sort of didn't really ask a good question, or you didn't ask a question properly. How can I change this? I've always been one of those people. I don't really give into the "would you rather" or this or this or that answer. I always believe a third option. Mm-hmm. And my brother would actually try to make me choose. No, what if somebody had a gun to your head? No, it was my friend Heidi. What if you had somebody who had a gun to your head and asked the question they're going to shoot you if you didn't answer? I was like, well, then I would try to take the gun away from them. You know, that's, you know, come up with like a third answer. So if somebody asked me that question, would you rather do this? I'd look at them and then I'd probably, you know, kick the person in the balls who answered the question. You know, that's my personal technique.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, I think I get, you know, I get enough questions that, and I'm with you. Like, I've done that too. Somebody asked, who would win in a fight, the chipmunk in the tuxedo or the one in the short shorts? And my answer was, you know, you're right. There are no six-year-olds in Badly Drawn Kitties. And so I just introduced a six-year-old character. He's like, this is Dirk's little cousin, David. David, can you draw whatever this person just said? And then just do a pencil crayon-y bad drawing of a chipmunk in a tuxedo reigning over a knocked-out one in short shorts. But the thing is, you can only make fun of the asker so many times, and I don't want to go to that well too much.
Mm.
I want to try to give a somewhat legitimate answer as much as I can. Although it's like I have a couple of questions in my queue coming up that I'm just looking at and going, whoa. Like somebody asked, here's a sneak preview. I'll read you the exact question because it's it's amazing. It is scroll. Hey, Lydia, how many times do you wish to give birth to your children? I think the correct answer there is once each is plenty.
Jesus Christ.
So you see, sometimes I can't help but make fun of the ASCII and the question. But at the same time, you know, it is that's going to come up enough that you can go to that well a bit too often.
Okay, we got to wrap this up.
All right.
Who is best pony?
Rarity.
All right. I thought you might be saying snails because you have a cosplayer in your Ask Blog that dresses up as snails.
Well, that was my joke that I was going to dress as snails at Midwest Fur Fest. True story. There was somebody there selling. They were making cutie marks out of like bendable lights and stuff, so light up cutie marks. And they had a snails one. It was $60, so I did not buy it.
Oh wow!
It was there, and I remember I joked at some point on the blog that, you know, I was going to dress as snails, and I said, somebody there is going to be dressed as Trixie. When I fawn all over them, it'll just be me being in character. There was no Trixie.
Oh, they got your warning.
Yeah, I bought a Boodaloo hat, and so I thought, and Chris Paulson actually mentioned, have you found a Trixie yet? And I said, no, but I'm wearing the Scootaloo hat. Somebody here's got to be dressed as Rainbow Dash. There was, and it was a guy. But he noticed me. I sat down with a chili dog, and I heard from the end of the table, Scoot, Scoot, Scootaloo! And I saw him, and of course I had to go, Rainbow Dash! There was, well, anybody who saw my Twitter knows that there was somebody dressed as Celestia, and I showed her the proper, there's no way I can end that sentence, it doesn't sound dirty. I showed her the proper respect. And I tell you, my dream job for years is cartoon voiceover. I would drop everything I'm doing now up to and including Badly Drawn Kitties if I could get that job. What I mean when I say I live in the right place, I mean, a lot of cartoons are made in Vancouver. Hmm. There's a notable cartoon that's made in Vancouver. It's kind of popular. It's called My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. That's here. Like, if I hung around the right part of Vancouver long enough, there's a good chance that, like, Tabitha St. Germain could walk by. And I could be like, sup, Rarity. Or I could blow her mind and say, sup, Heloise. And then she'd be like, well, somebody actually remembers that show?
Well, say hi to Tara Strong for me.
Tara Strong is the one that doesn't record here.
Oh, well.
Standing is that she's in demand enough and has enough other shows on the go that she actually records from somewhere else.
She phones it in, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. We got to end this interview.
All right.
So, Matt, of Badly Drawn Kitties, or askbdk.tumblr.com, right?
That's right.
Well, thank you very much for coming back on the show after 5 years.
Anytime.
And of course, you know, thanks for being the first interview, and hopefully this is not the last interview.
Oh yeah, that would suck as a bookend.
It wouldn't be bad for a bookend, but I do know that there are more shows coming after this particular episode, and I will be having there's going to be a giveaway in this particular episode of the Webcomic Beacon, the 5th anniversary special here, of which I don't know what Mark and Kelly and I are going to be talking about, but I'm sure it's going to be very interesting once we get back to us in the future, because we recorded this in the past, and so therefore... All right, so, I don't know what the prize keyword is going to be yet, but listen for the prize keyword, and we got prizes. Hopefully everybody's winning something this year. That is going to be it for this particular episode. We'll meet you back with what I just mentioned. This is terrible segue. Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
They say that Christmas time is a time for giving, a time for brotherhood, a time for love. But I know that there's just one word to describe it all, to describe it all.
Gimme, 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 gimme,
presents underneath the tree, but where's the one from Grandma? Oh, she only sent a card, and there wasn't even money. Well, Grandma, you can stuff that card where the Star of Bethlehem don't shine.
That was Gimme Gimme, A Christmas Lullaby by Phil Johnson and Roadside Attraction, as found on The Fump, the funny music project at thefump.com.
Well, I remember like my brother and I were playing Mario Kart, and
Mario?
I think he hit me with a red shell, and then he like laughed at me because he like passed me or whatever, and then I hit him because he laughed at me. And my dad came down to like break it up, and he was like, "What happened?" I was like, "Well, he hit me with a red. Why would you hit your sister with a red shell?"
See, that's the problem with having gamers for parents. My kids have the same problem. They'll start fighting over something, and I don't give a crap who hit who first. Who screwed up in the game and made somebody get hit?
Well, he thought a red shell was like a real life thing that like my brother had hit me with.
Oh,
never mind. What the hell are you doing taking her experience points?
We punish for game fouls. Absolutely. That's the way this house works. That's the way this works. If you're on a single screen, two-player game, you know, where you have to progress through a level and one person has to sit around and touch everything and slow all the gameplay down, go to your room. We don't play like that in this house.
That's why I don't play multiplayer with people, because I am that person. And it's like, I'll just do that on my own.
Go to your room.
I am in our room. Game.
Yeah, not allowed.
I think I got
your exploration in under my house.
I think I got that happen after I played Breath of Fire, because it's like if you don't get like the one treasure chest that has like the special fishing rod or the special armor in it or something, then like, aha, play the game again. You don't get the good ending.
See? We split it up. So if that happens, they're playing together. The one has to go to the room if they don't cut it out. And then the other one gets the computer, you know, or the game system for an hour. After which they have to switch off. The other person gets to play by themselves and go touch everything. And then they can play together.
Like Adrian Monk in a dungeon.
Oh, hell with that. Get him a checkerboard.
We don't do... Oh, Mark.
I mean, that's like saying, well, you can play with the checkerboard, but you only get the black checkers. And then the other kid gets to play with the checkerboard, but only gets the red checkers. And then you get to play together with both sets of checkers.
You don't gain a lot, do you?
Are we actually listening to Mark through a time machine of some sort?
I haven't even played solitaire in my computer in forever.
You don't understand how awesome it is to spend time with Mark. It's so cool. It's like going back to some level of my childhood where, like, nothing, like, you know, attention grabbing. It's like calming, and it's so nice.
You know what's so cool? A Saturday morning, the only thing missing was peanut butter crunch, but I got Shazam from Warner Art, and it's Shazam, and I haven't seen it since 75. And there it was. And I'm there on Saturday morning watching.
See, first I was thinking Kazam, is that when Shaquille O'Neal is a genie?
Oh, yeah, yes. That's something very different.
I was like, that didn't come out in 75.
No, you have to go back a decade for pretty much anything. If we're talking.
Driving around in a motorhome with the big Shazam logo on the front, like that would give it away.
I miss your apartment. Can I come back?
Adam West did the voice of Hercules.
Did it?
He did. And Mentor, the old guy that drove the van, he actually was a big character actor, like on Perry Mason and places like that, all kinds of TV shows. Did a lot of radio too. You can hear it in his voice.
When you go back to the 70s and mostly 60s and 70s, you do find that. It's like with the old Twilight Zones where each actor has been in 85,000 things. It's just, you know, a bunch of parts.
Now, hey, folks, I know you think this is a digression, but Shazam's a comic book, so it's comic-y. So, yeah, it was great. I just wish I had some Cap'n Crunch. I would have.
Is it Cap'n Crunch or Peanut Butter Crunch?
Either. I'd have taken either. Peanut butter crunch, I'd rather have. But I don't have my Harvest Gold plastic Tupperware bowl to eat it out of anymore.
With the built-in straw?
No.
The bowl?
No.
Before the built-in straw.
But it was that Harvest Gold color.
Yeah, the 70s color. It's the color of plastic.
Had that and my Shazam been doing good.
So we have another guest on the show. I just pulled in. Jules Rivera, welcome back.
Yeah.
Jules!
Hello.
Oh. What's up? What's up, what's up?
We need to hang out more.
Yeah, I know. I've been extremely busy between school and family visiting, so I'm just now in the last day or so coming up for a breath of oxygen. So.
And we're stealing that breath for this podcast.
I'm just going to say, I am still here, but with Jules, Tanya, Mark, all on the show, and Fess, and Kelly all on the show, I'm just going to sit back and listen to the awesome.
I'm sure you'll have some commentary at some point.
I've missed talking to Jules. Yay!
I know. We never got to
do a comic convention together either.
Yeah, we never got around to doing that. That's just because I haven't been able to get to a comic convention outside of California over the last 3 or 4 years. But, you know, I would like to get out to Denver Comic Con. You know, everybody says Denver's like the place to be. And I'm like, oh, that sounds cool. I'm not going to Phoenix because I'm not going to Arizona. That is a thing that is not happening.
That's a horrible place. That's where dreams go to die.
Yeah, it's a really bad place. And I'm not about to get a bunch of cops harassing me about my papers. No, that's
yeah. Oh, it's definitely what about, where minority dreams go to die.
What about Intervention Con? That's in August.
Intervention Con. Whereabouts is that?
DC. Just outside DC. Yep. Oh, or in DC.
Are you nuts? You want me to go out to the outside of DC in August? Jesus, it must be like 1,000 degrees out there.
What? Oh,
that's why you stay in the hotel.
Right now, but, oh, man. I've been around Baltimore-ish area in July.
Actually, you know what? The Webcomic Beacon does need to basically find a new convention since the other one kind of started sucking.
You can all sleep on my floor if you want to do Denver.
About to say, Denver sounds like a candidate to me.
It's actually, I was pretty impressed. You always worry the first time they're like, oh, we're going to do a massive thing. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a clusterfuck. But no, they really pulled it together. And it's
everybody I've heard who went to Denver, they said it was a really great show and it was really organized. And I'm like, oh, snap. I guess I got to make my way out to Denver next year, maybe.
Wait, Denver what? What is it? What con?
Denver Comic Con.
Denver Comic
Con. It's another Comic Con. It's in Denver.
Is it run by like the Comic Con, like the kind of collective that does the?
Yeah, it's an offshoot. So it's kind of like new volunteers, but they were all guided by the, by the collective, by the hive mind.
I don't think we'd be able to afford a Comic Con level sort of thing. I don't know. I don't know. Oh. I don't know. Okay, try to sell it for us.
Okay, well, first of all, I didn't go last year, so I can't really sell it except through other people's eyes. But last year was the first year, and from what I heard and from what I saw, and obviously the Squidworks group was there, the comic co-op that I've worked with. And as far as I know, everyone I knew that had a booth there made their money back plus, which is pretty impressive for a first year con.
That's really impressive.
Yeah, so there were, throngs of people. We actually have a really good convention community here. So we don't have a lot, unless there's management.
Oh, we lost her.
We
lost Tanya again.
This reminds me of the old days.
Yeah, it does.
I can tell you that Denver Comic Con is a production of the Denver-based Comic Book Classroom. It is a 3-day fan convention featuring the popular television, movie, and Japanese animation, cosplay, toys, gaming, science fiction, of course, comic books. As we plan our 2013 show for May 31st, June 2nd, we would like to invite you to learn more about our organization and hope you will be interested in joining us in our educational endeavors now in the future.
Oh, kind of sounds like he was like really selling us. Like he sounded like a people announcer.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Pat.
Yes.
Sunday. Learn about Hong Kong.
So,
that's what we do on the news.
So Eric filled in what Denver Comic Con was. And I can also say that Intervention Con was looking to be another candidate since there's a few people that live close to that area as well.
I love Intervention. It is one of the best cons that I've gone to. It is small, though. You don't make your money back in Intervention.
I'm not marinating in D.C. in August. Do not make my money
back. Well,
I don't know where you were.
It wasn't bad where we were when we were there. I forget when we were there.
It's Rockville. They have parks. It's not. If you were in Baltimore, I can understand. Baltimore is an oven. But Rockville's not.
Like the summer? It was awesome.
Yeah.
I guess it was the spring. When were we there? I don't know.
Well, I didn't necessarily mean to actually table there since, I don't know, historically, just like to go socialize, do some panels, get some FaceTime.
Awesome for that.
Yeah.
It is a networking con.
Yeah.
This is where professionals go, webcomic professionals go to network with other webcomic professionals. Don't expect to make your sales back, but expect to make really good contacts because it is that small. And it's almost last time I was there, almost a quarter of the people were webcomic professionals wandering around. So it wasn't so much fans interacting with, you know, a few professionals. It was professionals acting with everyone, and everyone was sort of treated like a peer there. So it has a nice vibe. I really enjoyed it. But don't go there to make money.
I will say that with Denver Comic Con, it is a Comic Con experience, which means that there is too much stuff. You can't see everything. If you ever want to leave your table to pee, you best have a helper. It's a Comic Con. It is busy. There are thousands of people pouring through. So,
in San Diego, I was like, and I'm glad I didn't like pay for this because the only thing I'm doing is like hanging out with my other like artist friends in hotel lobbies.
Yeah.
All right. So we got Jules Rivera on the show here. And we were discussing earlier in the show, I was like, who's been on the show a lot of times, but actually isn't a part of the crew?
I don't belong.
Jules, I think, is one of those that has been on frequently. I'd have to actually go through the whole archive again and see who's been on the most. But
I definitely did a few shows. Pretty much the biggest show that I did that everybody loved was the Anti-Valentine's Day show.
Yes.
Everybody loved that one.
I love that one. I loved the artwork that you did for that show as well.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty fun. I was kind of terrified that Bobby Crosby was going to, like, yell at me for that show because we did kind of spend some time talking about one of his works. What was it? The one with the sparkly pop star thing, Marry Me?
Yeah.
So we spent some time discussing it, and that's all I'm going to say about that here. And I was just waiting for Bobby Crosby to come lace into me because he is not known for being a shrinking violent. If you talk some smack about his work, he will get in your face. I'm just thinking, oh God.
Yeah.
He's going to come for my face. He's going to eat me. He's going to attack me.
This reminds me of the old days.
Yeah, I think you lucked out with that one because the King Spot was, at the time, was really trying to work on their image. And they had, I talked to Chris Crosby and he didn't say it specifically, but he implied that Bobby had been put on a leash and had been told to knock it off.
That's probably a new thing to me. I mean, I've met him in person and he's a perfectly nice guy in person, but online he tends to get a little.
It seems to be like a lot of people that I'm told, you know, like people are like, oh, this guy is like bad news, don't talk to him. It's like whenever I meet them in person, it's like, oh, they're very nice people. So it's like I just try not to like talk to people as though I didn't have the internet to like separate us because like
they're
such a different like.
That's the thing that confuses the heck out of me because there are certain people, and everyone knows about my long feud with Kurtz. And
your one sided feud with Kurtz,
pretty much. I would say it's one sided if he didn't occasionally rise to my taunting. So, one sided would mean he ignores me. He doesn't ignore me. He occasionally comes in and yells at me and then wanders off. But I mean, everyone who has met him in person says he's a nice guy, which
confuses
the hell out of me.
I've met him three times in person. And all three times, he not only refused to talk to me, even when I spoke to him directly, he wouldn't make eye contact. So I know I'm a little bit of a freak, but holy crap, I'm not that much of a freak. We're talking about comic convention crowds. So what the fuck?
Well, I don't know. I've only seen him. I've never actually talked to him.
Yeah.
There was an episode of
I talk to people who say that if you get past his filter and he's a nice guy, but Jesus Christ, online he's a sociopath and it just confuses the hell out of me.
I take it personally. I don't know. I thought it was just me. So maybe.
Well, apparently maybe not as bad.
You, Tanya, because you're a bad person. He can sense Aura and he knows you're a bad person.
I mean, granted, I'm always wearing a shirt that says something about boobs or, you know, kind of obnoxious, but.
Well, who's the guy that does Control Alt Delete?
Oh,
Tim Buckley.
Tim Buckley. Yeah. When he ended basically what is Control-Alt-Delete. The webcomics.com crew, the Webcomics Weekly crew, got back together to do an episode, and it sounds like he's even worse at a convention.
I mean, people, a lot of people slam him, and I've never had any sort of personal dealing with him, so I can't talk, I've talked to Mookie, who is really good friends with him, and says, he would defend him to the death, and it's like, Mookie's a super nice guy, and he gets, lots of people talk shit about him, and it's, I don't know, it's like,
Isn't that interesting? Because everything I've ever heard about Tim Buckley and everything I've ever heard about Mookie, and I liked Mookie's comic and I don't even care. I find it strange that they would be friends. Because Tim Buckley is always, character assassination. I've never read anything good about him. Ever.
Yeah. Tim Buckley, okay, first of all. About the Webcomic Weekly podcast, keep in mind that Tim Buckley's comic is more popular than Scott Kurtz, and that entire podcast was Scott just bitching and moaning.
I know, but it was hilarious.
That people go and look at Buckley because he's a horrible person and he's a horrible writer and he's a horrible everything, and they shouldn't want him and want to watch him. They should want to watch me. And that's an hour and a half of that.
I didn't get that, but it's like, come on. It's like, it's clear that the guy doesn't know how to write. Well, women at least,
he's got a very Family Guy sense of humor, and yes, it's exactly. And people talk like he. I mean, I think I've heard people make this exact point before, but he writes like a kind of penny arcade sort of ripoff comic, and a lot of people go to he's got the most infamously hated comic on the internet, and so people go to slam on him, but people who that's Family Guy sense of humor stick around, and he gets, it's like, if you don't like something, don't talk about it, don't make fun of it, don't talk about it.
That's been my philosophy for the longest time. Don't
do not base your opinion on Buckley versus that podcast. They vastly misrepresented what he does.
It's still really fun to listen to them.
He writes very poorly for his women characters, that it comes across very much like a guy writing for a woman. However, I have received emails from angry women telling me that I write horribly my women characters, that they're completely unconvincing as women, and that I should just stick to writing men like myself.
You know what?
I'm pretty sure I
think one of the most tragic things, but he wrote that miscarriage comic that is totally infamous, that people just make fun of up and down it, because it was very poorly handled, and when people were getting on him about it, he said this is based on a real experience that me and one of my ex-girlfriends went through, and it was so he just made her miscarriage this very personal tragic thing, the most mocked internet sensation.
Way to go, bro.
I think it was the taste of, I'm really sorry I was such a bitch when I had a dead baby inside me, that, turned people off a little bit.
Yeah. It's
he followed a strip about I'm breaking my own rule about making fun of people now. I think it's just a poor choice to follow a strip that was just kind of a slapstick gag about they were launching something out of a cannon, and then the next strip is miscarriage. It's kind of tonally schizophrenic. It's
I am going to defend Buckley.
I think T.K. Trumps calls that mood whiplash.
But I'm going to defend Buckley, and I'm going to defend him on the same case I defend all webcomic creators. Most of us learn as we're doing this.
Yeah.
And he was learning. I mean, this is the thing. He was learning how to do this. He was going through the famous Cerberus syndrome, in that he started off with wacky fun times and wanted to get something more serious. And I can tell you, comedy writers who try to move to drama suck at it. And it takes them a real long time to figure it out. And that's because comedy writers have no clue that drama is hard. They think it's easy. They think, oh, you just put something sad up and it's easy.
Everyone instantaneously feels the way you want them to feel, and you don't have to build that up.
And and it's a learning experience. And yeah. I applaud him for trying. He failed horribly. It's a wild world of sports failure, but he tried. You know, and I think
agony of defeat failure.
That. I think the that he really needed to take away was that just because you're a creator and you can express yourself through your kind of little wacky comics and stories, some things are just not appropriate for your stories, you know, like that, you know, wacky kind of comics, you know, if you wanted to write like a blog post that was separate from it, kind of talking about his feelings, then that would have been appropriate. But you kind of have to remember that for the sake of your story, you can't always put yourself in there, even though Troll of the League was effectively a comic about himself. But I'm pretty sure he learned the lesson that it can't always be about you. You really do have to be a slave to the craft of the piece itself. The piece has its own story going on, and your life and the piece can't always intermingle. So
that's why I need you in my life, Jules. It's because you can take all of this nonsense and then you translate it into a teachable moment. So other people can maybe not do that.
So I do want to talk about you.
Let's talk crap about Jules.
You bastard.
I really hated Jules' miscarriage comic.
Jesus Christ.
That's going to be kind of hard because I've never been pregnant.
Well, neither was Tim Buckley, but.
In that illustrated Twilight compendium you made.
I'm going to assume she's never gotten anyone pregnant either.
This is
the future. We've got lots of science in the future.
Yes, absolutely. Now, Jules. No. You do this comic called Valkyrie Squadron.
Okay, I do. I presently do this comic called Valkyrie Squadron. It updates weekly. I scaled it back from my bi-weekly updates just because I'm in school right now as well. So keeping up with my assignments and the comic was getting kind of rough. So I scaled it back to bi-weekly. I mean, just a single page weekly just for the time being. What it's about, a team of four female fighters in space, and they're fighting a war against robot drones. And the war has taken a curious turn in that, humans are starting to kind of intermingle with the machinery in really unexpected ways.
Intermingle.
And definitely the current chapter storyline is going to follow how, you know, this sort of intermingling of technology with organic matter is going to be able to be an asset to the humans in their war against the drones. And it's science, it's kind of science fiction-y, but I managed to write characters who are not straight up science fiction, I guess, because people always comment, oh, they feel so human. And I'm like, maybe that means I'm a good writer. Maybe I'm doing something right. Yeah. I don't know.
It reminds me a lot of the way Asimov was able to do that. There was a lot of science fiction and a lot of technical aspects, but you still related to those characters and it still spoke about large themes.
Dude, that's a pretty intense compliment. Thank you. the bottom line is when you're writing characters, you have to be kind of genre blind, because a friend of mine, he keeps telling me, oh, yes, you know, I want to write in this one genre, which I guess is lesbian romance. So, hey, good job. I'm still kind of waiting for him to turn something over. He gets all these books about how to write for XYZ genres. And while it helps to be a little genre savvy, you have to keep in mind that characters are just characters, all right? Where in whatever story they are, it really doesn't matter what genre they're in, as long as they still look and act like regular humans. So, you know, that's what kind of helps me in writing characters for sci-fi, because they're still people. They're still, you know, they still have their regular motivations. Sometimes they do goofy stuff, like, you know, we bet against each other or get into silly little competitions. But, they're still just people. And that's really what I focus on when writing characters and very character-driven stories.
Yeah.
It's like, I used to be pretty involved with like the character tournament things that people would do on like DeviantArt and that. Like, it's basically like, you know, you create a character, you enter it, and then they put everybody's names in a hat, and like you get drawn with somebody and just draw like a short comic about like your character fighting their character. Like, the person who wins, like, then, you know, you go into the next round. And there were, you know, like, a lot of them have different settings, like, oh, this one's steampunk, or this one's zombies, or like, this one's like Victorian and stuff like that. And, you know, there would be people who would get like, and, you know, they'd put down rules like, okay, this one, you can't enter animal characters, like, they don't fit in like the world that we've set up for this tournament, or like, this one, you can't enter characters that use like magical powers and stuff like that. And there were people who would get like really offended that you'd say, like, okay, you can't use magic, because they'd be like, oh, well, my character doesn't work without magic. And it's like, then you haven't really created a character, and you've created a superpower.
You created a wizard.
All right, Kelly? Kelly, is it after the time that you needed to leave?
I don't need to. Like, I can stick around longer. Like, I was just going
to... Well, we're almost... I wanted to make sure that you weren't going to be late for something.
No, like, the... I mean...
Wait, we're almost done anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I'm doing okay.
Okay, cool. I just didn't want to get blamed for keeping you.
He's out there playing Borderlands.
Okay. So you're both not paying attention. All right. So
I'm behind. What are you in school for, Jules?
Okay. I guess I got to catch everybody up on my life so far. Really super Clips Notes version. I moved to Los Angeles to study entertainment design. And right now I'm going to be polishing up my portfolio to start getting storyboard revisionist gigs and just more storyboarding kind of jobs because, hey, I'm at the
Quinter. Oh, I never got back to you. I just realized I never answered your thing on Tumblr.
Oh, no, that's okay. That's cool. I figured. I figured, you know, you're out partying late. I don't know. I don't know your deal. I don't know you. I don't know your business.
I had like 2 or 3 days this week where I was like the last one out of the studio and the first one back in.
Ouch. Aww. Yeah.
But, I'm sorry. I totally cut you off. But on the subject of that storyboarding thing you're asking about, like every studio I've worked at does storyboards in Flash. Like all the Flash studios I've worked at, they just do them like directly in the program. Buddies work at Nickelodeon and they do the storyboards like in Photoshop there. It's kind of like, you know, they just have the panel and they fill it out. I think my friend who worked at Studio B, it was the same kind of thing. Like they print them out in a big volume. Like a couple shows I've heard of work in that Toon Boom, like Storyboard Pro or whatever the program's called, like Toon Boom's one. But I've never had any experience with that.
All right. Well,
that's the answer to that question.
That answers my question. I had asked her a question about, you know, what software to look into for storyboarding on Tumblr, and that is the answer. And you guys were all part of that teachable moment. Okay. So I've been studying entertainment design, which really just means, you know, beefing up my art chops. I got this really sweet Phoenix tattoo I'm going to be getting in the future. Yeah, it's pretty big. So I just still haven't gotten around to writing the Tumblr post about that. But that's coming. Yeah, so it's on my left forearm. It goes pretty much up from my wrist to my elbow. So
I'm using all my plant tattoos as soul markers. So, like, I can't get them unless I get a degree.
It's your reward to yourself.
Can I ask something completely unrelated? When do tattoos become a girl thing? Because I don't know any guy who gets a tattoo, but every female friend I have, they're talking about their next tattoo. They're all planning for it. So when did that happen?
What I was going to ask my boyfriend for Christmas is just like money.
As women realized that it didn't matter if men thought we were whores.
Okay.
That's only for that one tattoo in that one spot.
Tramp stamp.
I have a really important tattoo question because I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, oh man, that's a really important question. If you get a tattoo of Charlie Chaplin anywhere on your body, does that automatically make it a tramp stamp?
You know what? I don't know, but now I really want one.
Exactly, right?
Okay, let me show you my tramp stamp. That is awesome. Oh my god, I flush out the nerds so easily.
Right?
I love tattoos that flush out nerds. That's just...
Tattoos that flush out memories? Well, Tanya, don't think about my penis.
Oh.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about taking a bunch of drawing classes. I've seen so many penises now. I'm just like, doesn't even phase me anymore.
This is the wrong way. I was a CNA at an old folks' home. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah. Oh well, that's not the same thing. See, these are model penises. They take better care of their bodies, so you know it's not as terrifying as old man penis.
Better art class.
All right, web comics.
And moving on to web comics.
That is
penises.
I think this is going to be it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon. However, I did say that there was going to be a prize keyword for this episode, and to win particular prizes.
Can we scream when we hear the word, like in Pee Wee Herman's Playhouse?
Oh, boy.
The prize keyword is Pee Wee Herman, and what you can win is A cartoony color headshot of you as for your online avatar profile picture, as drawn by Diana Nock, the official artist of Becky Beacon on this on the Webcast Beacon Network, as well as a copy of Poorcraft, the funny book Fundamentals of Living Well on Less, a graphic novel written by Spike of Templar, Arizona, and also Smut Peddler, the organizer of Smut Peddler. And also the art was done by Diana Nock as well. And so
I have that. You want it. You want to enter that. It's very good.
Boy, it's exciting.
So that only one person can win that. And you know what? What the hell? Let's also give away a copy of Family Bones Volume 1 and 2. I do like this graphic novel. And that's also going to be part of the, a prize as well that people can enter for using that same Pee Wee Herman prize keyword. And you can also check online for our interview with comic book writer Mark Wade, who's recently got into making webcomics. It's a great episode where he totally gets webcomics. He seems to be, he totally gets it. He does the thrillbent.com where you can check out a lot of the comics that he's been putting, that's been putting up there already. Listen to the episode for the prize keyword and you can win a free first issue video advertisement slot and or, a choice of comic book for the first issue crew to review. It doesn't have to be a first issue. It can be any issue as long as we can reasonably obtain it. I'm not going to drop like $30 on a Silver Age comic book. Maybe, okay, maybe $30. So you'd have to like send like a few. If you win, you'd have to like to send like a list just in case we can't get obtain some of them. But I think that could be good. You can even submit your own comic issue at your own risk. Because if we don't like it, we will say we don't like it. If we don't. Yeah, so that's at your own risk. And the deadline for that one is December 29th, 2012. And also there is a second chance offering for the personalized voicemail message, which also ends December 29th because only one person actually entered for that one. So they'll get their first choice of to do who's going to do their voicemail message. Mark Savory, myself, Witchy Bunny, or Michael Corley, of who we had on talking about performing. And let's see here. The deadline for this episode's, let's make it December 31st is the deadline for this particular episode. So, one more thing. January is coming up, which means February is coming up. Imagine that. And last year we did a webcomic blind date. And we're going to do that again. So I'm going to go ahead and start getting people to submit now if they're a creator. Send an email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com with, you know, your name, your website if you got one. And then also if you are an artist or a writer or if you can do both and add a preference if you'd prefer. And then I think I'm picking January 5th for people to email in by so I can start pairing people up for a webcomic blind date 2013. I'll let the blind dates get paired together and then by basically about February 14th they should have their comic for Valentine's Day up and we'll promote it and everything. So go ahead and if you want to get in on that, be sure you let us know by emailing us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Good luck to everybody else who's also emailing for the prizes that they can win for this fifth anniversary special. All right, so we're at the end of the episode. I would like to thank everybody who's been listening over the past 5 years to our over 10 days of content of the Webcomic Beacon and the newscast. I do want to thank Tanya Higgins for coming back from daisiesandshit.com. Thank you for coming back onto this show.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Hooray! And Jules Rivera from ValkyrieSquadron.com, also a preview of her new new comic that she's working on at misfortunehigh.tumblr.com. Thank you for coming back on the show.
It's a pleasure, as always.
And Eric Eric Kimball of BladeBunny.com and the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, thanks for popping on out today.
Thanks for having me, Fess.
Absolutely. I mean, what would I do without you?
Probably the same thing.
Yeah.
Probably be entertained by me.
And so, yes, this has been the fifth anniversary of the Webcomic Beacon podcast. Dear God.
Yeah.
Or
don't sound excited.
Or what powers may be, like gravity and things. You know, right, Tanya? Gravity,
yeah,
is a power that
gravity
may be.
And things. All right. It's a force, but we're gonna let you get away with it.
It's a force that may be. All right, electromagnetism. And so I have been Fess of ArcherComic.com, updating again soon.
And Kelly Turnbull of ManlyGuys.com.
Mark.
And this is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
Okay. Confidence.
It's not confidence. It's sarcasm.
Oh.
Or sarcasm. It's like this little valley.
In between.
In between self-doubt and loathing.
Use the sarcasm.